Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John.
Blog Talk Radio.
Amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the show. I want to just say to everybody right out of the gate, you've heard me talk about this. You've heard me talk about mammograms. You've heard me talk about my own journey. But did you know that there has been a decline in mammograms? Did you know that? Do you know why there has been? Well, I'm not going to talk about it. Dr. Catherine Yao is going to talk about it. Chair elect of the National Accreditation Program for Breast Centers at the American College of Surgeons. Big conversation, big thing going on here, but this is an awareness month. Honestly, every month should be an awareness month. Dr. Yao, thank you for joining me here today. I was reading about this, and I was like, wow, why, right? Talk about what's happening.
So we know with the pandemic that breast centers shut down their screening mammogram programs. Anywhere from 50 to 80% of breast centers across the country shut down their screening mammogram programs for anywhere from 1 to 3 months. But we do know that approximately 6 months after that, most screening centers resume normal volumes. Now, when we say normal volumes, that means that they resume the volume that they were doing prior to the pandemic. But it doesn't account for all the increased number of screenings that should be coming through.
Wow.
So we may have resumed normal baseline levels, but we haven't increased those levels. So there's still a lot of residual out there and a lot of people that still need screening mammograms that aren't getting them done.
So let's just give people a quick view on what mammogram screenings are. Now, for somebody like me, I'm aware of it. I've done many shows on cancer, breast cancer, the effects of it. I've lost people in my life. And so I have a level of awareness, but not everybody does. Can you bring people up to date on what it is and why it's important? Where are we today with the status of mammograms and what should people know?
So mammogram is like an X-ray of the breast. And we do in general recommend starting mammograms at age 40. You can start on an annual basis. And we know that mammograms save lives. There have been multiple studies all the way dating back to the 1990s that have repeatedly shown that mammograms save lives.
Yeah.
Mammograms also catch cancers at an earlier stage, a smaller size. So even if you do get diagnosed with breast cancer, the treatments are less aggressive and your survival is better because the cancer is caught early.
Yeah. We can't say this enough. I don't want to speak for you. I can't say this enough. I mean, just got mine done, right? And people want to ask the question, why? I'm so busy. I don't have time. You know, to be honest with you, this is something that I know people don't want to do because they're afraid of what they may get as a result. But I will tell people here now, we can help you through your fear. You certainly, doctor, can help people through the knowledge, information, and through the fear. And I think we need to tell people that we can catch this early, right?
And I know that people don't like mammograms. They're not so comfortable. There's compression involved. But it's very short. I mean, it's a 5 to 7 minute test.
Yeah, really. It is.
And I will say that the machines have really gotten better through the years. The paddles are softer, the rooms are heated, and the technicians who perform the mammogram, the way that they position patients, it's just gotten so much better through the years. So
yeah.
it may not be the most comfortable experience, but it's a short, uncomfortable experience for a great benefit that will last for years.
I wanted to just make a comment on what you said, because one of the things I've noticed is the technicians have gotten not just better at what they do. First of all, they're extremely knowledgeable. The second thing is they are compassionate. You know, at least where I am, they are. They understand what you're going through. They understand how it works. And people say to me, well, I don't want to have a man do it. Well, okay, I've never had a man do mine. I don't even understand how they even figured that out. But there are so many things that we can learn from this. The other thing that's changed is, okay, I'm going to date myself. Once upon a time, right, you used to have to wait like a week. But now you don't. And then there are also possibilities where you can schedule your mammogram and your doctor together. So there are just a lot of options right now, aren't there?
A lot of options. And actually where I'm at, they have a screening mammography facility in the Nordstrom shopping.
Wow.
So you can go and get your screening mammogram and then go do some shopping. So they're all over the place, and it really has become a much different experience. I have a number of patients that every year they schedule their mammogram with their friend or with their mom, and they make it sort of a lunch date. They go get their mammogram done, and then they go shopping, eat lunch. And it's a more of an enjoyable experience as opposed to like a medical appointment.
Now, before we, I want to make sure people know how they can find out about the facts about what we're talking about. Can you tell us where people are going now to really get information?
For a screening mammogram, American Cancer Society, they have a great website. I mean, I'm always visiting their website. Lots of information, lots of data if you want to read through that, but very good patient-friendly information, and that's where I would start if you wanted to learn more about screening mammogram.
And then isn't there a website, FACS.org? Is that
that's the American College of Surgeons website, and they have a lot of very, very good information, too, about screening mammogram.
What I love about this is the amount of information that is now available is so much better than where we were before. You know, this has been a conversation that mostly affects women, but what is the message for men in this conversation?
So I think there's a misperception out there that men can't get breast cancer.
Yeah.
But they can. So it's important for men to be cognizant of that. If they have a breast finding, such as a mass, a discharge, they need to go to their doctor and get it looked into because it could be a breast cancer. Routine screening is not recommended for average-risk men, but again, if there's a finding, then they should get it looked into.
This is an area you're passionate about. You're an expert in this. You know, every day you're waking up. This is what you're aware of. This is what you do. Now, I want to ask you this question. How far have we progressed in 5 years, and what are you excited about as you look ahead?
I think that the treatments for breast cancer have really progressed. And what's interesting is during the pandemic, was sort of a halt or kind of a hold on research. And literally within the past year, there's this publication of at least 3 or 4 major studies of new and different treatments for all different types of breast cancer that have really changed the survival rates. And it just, they all came out at once. And I think part of it was because the pandemic sort of put a hold on everything. And then once the pandemic kind of died down, then the research continued. And it just shows that there's just so much going on and so many trials, and it's really good news for patients because it's not just addressing one type of breast cancer. It's all the different types of breast cancer and really promising treatments.
Yeah. You know, I will tell you that I'm one of your statistics because I realized during the pandemic I wasn't paying attention to this. And then when I realized it, you know, I realized the level of fear I had around going. You know, and what I want to say to people is even though it may be a long time since you've gone or you've had one, you need to push past the fear and get it done, you know, because I realized, like, how it was in the back of my mind, like, all the time. And then, you know, you go to get it done and you know, and then you know, right? What can we say to the people listening today that we can help encourage them your top three reasons, this is why you should go get this.
So I would say you should get it because of the benefits of it. It saves lives, you can't catch things earlier, and because it's not going to be as bad as you think it's going to be. It's a quick test. You're going to be in and out of there in 10 to 15 minutes, and the benefits are just so great.
Yeah.
And I know it's all dread, but don't make it something to dread. Take a friend. Go with your sister. Go with your mom. Make it a lunch date. Make it fun, and don't make it something to dread, because it shouldn't be.
Yeah. I did mine so that I could go play ping pong right after. I mean, you're absolutely right about that reward aspect of that. I didn't really think that. I'm just thinking now that I did that really subconsciously, because that's my happy place. But definitely what you're saying is 5 to 7 minutes. What I'm finding is they take you really quickly. There are no long waits anymore. Everybody is really aware and protective. You know, you may still have to wear a mask, no big deal. And you're right, it is over. And all the things you talked about improved equipment, more awareness, compassion of the technician, all of those things I have learned now through my own experience, we have changed to really be mindful of the patient. Isn't that breakthrough?
Oh, yes. It's focusing on the patient, the journey, the experience that they're going through.
Yeah.
That has dramatically changed in years. I've seen that for sure.
Yeah. I thank you for today, but I do have one other question. I would love to know your personal message. What do you want to say to the women that may listen to this, that are watching this? What would you like to say to them so that we can help people take that next step?
Well, I would say check. Don't be afraid of the mammogram. Don't panic that you're not maybe getting it done next week. Get it done in a couple weeks. That's fine. It's not going to be as bad as you think. Check your schedules. I can't tell you how many people have told me, oh, I'm up to date on my mammograms, and then we look back, and it's been 3 years since they've had it. I mean, the COVID pandemic was a time warp for everybody, and people just lost a year or two. So check your schedules. Check your medical record. Make sure you're up to date, and don't be afraid. You're
going to
do fine.
Oh, boy, you just, like, called me out, because that was me. Like, when they asked me, when was your last mammogram, I said, oh, like 2 years ago. They're like, no, it was not. But even though I showed up and I did it, thank you so much, doctor, for everything you're doing. I know you're doing interview after interview. I personally want to tell you how important this is that you're out there talking with us. Too many people I've seen in my life not do what we're talking about today, and they're no longer here, and I don't want that for our listeners. Thank you so much for everything you're doing.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
So everybody, get up to date on your mammogram screening. If you live in my state, so easy to do, so many places, so many things that if you're thinking, oh, my insurance, this or that, please. Please check it out. You're going to find that it's much easier than you think. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, welcome. You know, I was wondering who was going to take this fight on. I was thinking to myself, is there somebody out there that sees what I've seen? Is there somebody out there that looks at marginalized communities and have seen the pain of what it's like to fight obesity? But how about fighting obesity among black women? Now, you have heard me tell the story of my sister, 450 pounds, dying on a hospital floor. And you've heard me talk about my relatives, people of color, as we are. But anyone care? Yeah. Kalia Ali, joining me here today, cares. And, you know, when you care, you take action. That is what this amazing woman is doing. Healthcare advocate, activist, designer, author, daughter of former boxing, professional boxer, Muhammad Ali. Now, I want to say this. This is not a conversation that doesn't require action. This requires action. And why? Wait till you hear the conversation we are getting ready to have. And I want to ask all y'all out there, what are you willing to do? What is your commitment? How are you going to pass this on to others? How can you help? Wow. Clea, thank you for joining me here today. It's great to have you on the show.
Dr. Pat, I am touched, honored, and pleased. Truly, the pleasure is all mine.
Now, this is a conversation that my family, my sister, my sister's children, you know, we come from a very diverse family. Believe it or not, I may sit here and by the way, you know, the color of my hair, I just did it. But what I'm trying to say is we are not talking about this. And I want to ask you, what touched your heart for you to then say, here I am, Kalia Ali, here I am, and I am going to do something about it. What struck you in this?
Let's start with the numbers. 4 out of 5 black American women are overweight or obese. 76% of all black adults are either overweight or obese. This epidemic in our country is just one that we can no longer afford to turn a shoulder to, especially within the black community. And like so many, I personally have struggled since childhood, personally and publicly. I made my first appearance on the Today Show at the age of 9, and you know, and actually consequently visited again when I elected to have my bariatric weight loss surgery live on Today Show. So for me, you know, one of my favorite poems of my father is "Me, We." You know, we're also profoundly connected, and we need each other, and we need community, and voices need to be heard to make change. And like you, sadly, I have lost along the way people who I love dearly. About a year and a half ago, I lost my brother, my friend, somewhere between COVID and cardiac comorbidities due to obesity. And making the struggle so vividly and painfully clear to me, and of course within our community, while certainly COVID impacted everyone across this world, it disproportionately affected the black community,
yeah.
Notably too, as well as those who are overweight. And so, you know, I've been so gifted with the platform I have as my father's child, always taught you build a longer table, not a higher wall, and give. And it's a powerful way to curate his legacy as well, but mine too, you know, and to let people know, though we have many different voices, you know, and I sat down at the round table and I spoke to 4 incredibly powerful and amazing women, and I encourage you to please. Realization, you're going to identify and find yourself. You know, there's just a common thread that runs through all of us. You know, though we may have different struggles, different backgrounds, there's certain basic things that we all fight with, and we need to stand up and fight for together.
Yeah. Look, I want to say this. I am beyond thrilled that you are taking the conversation out. And let me just do this. For people that are listening, I want to acknowledge your courage, because despite what you may think about people that are well-known, that are celebrities, that are out there in the world, coming on public television and doing what you did is an act of courage. But it is in the spirit, and of course it has to be. It is in the spirit of your dad. I mean, I remember a quote, and I'm telling you, I go way back. And so I understand and followed his energy and, as a matter of fact, his inspiration for so many of us that didn't feel like we could rise up. And I come from the projects in New York. And so when he said only a man, and I said man and woman, only a man and woman who knows what it's like to be defeated could reach down to the bottom of his soul and come up with the extra ounce of power. it takes to win. Now, that to me has been a mantra. That's what you are helping people with, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's like sometimes I'm winning, sometimes I'm losing, but I'm always committed to the fight. It's a bariatric patient. I'm a revisional patient, you know, and there's no doctor that's ever going to operate a poor diet or my lack of inactivity, you know. So to be very transparent, the struggle's real. This is a marathon, not a sprint. I'm talking to you this morning at my lowest adult weight ever, but let me tell you, this is going to be a struggle to keep it here. Obesity is an awful disease. It's an awful disease. But you know what's great? What's great is the fact that folks like EndoEthicon and the American Academy of Family Physicians are getting behind us. They're recognizing us. They're reaching back into the community, and they're giving us the tools to start the conversations we need to lead to success. I feel like they're giving us the gloves to put on. Now we have to get in the ring and fight. And again, you can learn so much more and hear this conversation at familydoctor.org/healthy-weight or #fighttoflourish on social media platforms.
Yeah, and by the way, I want to make sure you all do that. Go to the website. There's lots of information. I've already been there. Can I ask you this question? And thank you for coming on here and sharing this information. But, you know, you're somebody, I'm somebody, look, we've battled this. I know what you're talking about. I believe me, I know every aspect of this. I watch my sister go up and down and sideways myself as well. But here's the question I want to ask you about is what do you see as the personal challenges in the Black community to rise up and really put the gloves on and knock this thing out?
So when we're talking cultural, it might just be as simple as switching recipes and not being determined to identify ourselves so closely with what we eat that's unhealthy for us. You know, but looking at very real issues and challenges, and again, you'll hear some of these conversations at the roundtable that we have to deal with within our communities, you know, just living in food deserts and having access to affordable, good, quality food, or, you know, it's the socioeconomics of it and dealing with, again, similar to my family, you know, where you have systemic obesity issues throughout generations for a multitude of reasons. But when we're talking about socioeconomics, the playing field clearly is not even. So we have to strategize. We have to learn. We have to be self-motivated. To the best of our abilities,
yeah.
You know, because life is hard. We work hard. The day is long, you know, and I appreciate that. But to just start making it tangible and taking the first steps in your personal journey into loving yourself and getting back to health. And the first step is always the hardest, isn't it?
The first step is the hardest. But you see, you're taking that first step and helping a lot of people out. You know, what I love about this is, you know, sometimes we look at the road and we don't see a pathway. You know, we look at the road, we see a road, but we don't see this pathway. You know, the pathway that's going to help us to get, you know, physical, mental health, to get the challenges behind us. We don't see a pathway. But what you've done is you have taken the first step. So now we can see the pathway. Now we can take out and we can follow. And this is really so such an important message. That my first study, I can't remember when it was, probably after I lost my job and I went back to school, I studied the impact of socioeconomical, let me just say, consequences on people in different lifestyles because I watched my sister. We all grew up, you know, in the Bronx, right? You know, this is us. We understand what it's like. And yet we somehow, and I somehow, got to be here. But it was so important for me to understand. And I want to ask you this question. Is it really time for an effort where we say we need some support to address this? Yes, we'll take the first step, but can you take the second?
Right, and the second really is speaking to your healthcare professional because healthcare is so incredibly personalized and individualized.
Yeah.
And reaching out to your medical team to know what the right first step is and utilizing
Fight to Flourish campaign as a source of inspiration and connecting deeper within?
Yeah. I want to ask you this question because I love things like this. I want you to look a year out from now, and I want you to give us insight based on the work that you're doing, based on the work that people will find when they go to the website. I'm going to say it again, familydoctor.org. Based on all of this that's happening, take me out a year, and as you look ahead and you look at what you've done, please tell me your vision for what you're most excited about. What have you seen the change be?
So I want to see the family continue to grow. I applaud Ethicon and the American Academy of Physicians for bringing us all together and just, you know, continuing the dialogue and taking one step at a time, you know. This is, like I said again, this is a marathon, a distance, and I just look forward to being connected deeply, to getting on the road and meeting people face-to-face and hearing the stories and hearing about individual successes. Yeah. You know, at hashtag Fight to Flourish, you have the opportunity. And I'm just super excited about participating. Mm-hmm. And, of course, with myself personally, every day is a struggle. You know, but it's also a victory when I stay connected and connected to source.
Look, I have one last area I want to really work with you on, and I've watched this over time, and, you know, one of the things you talk about is an individual approach. And we don't talk about this enough. There's so much we hear about groups and teams and organizations, you know, right? But there is an aspect of an individualized approach, which we don't talk about enough. What do you think are, from your perspective, what can we learn about the major benefits from this, and how might people take action today?
So I think you have to turn to your healthcare professionals and your healthcare team and sit down with your doctor and get the journey started.
When we look at this last part, and I want to talk about it because it's so cool. I love the phrase, fight to flourish. That came from the heart. What does that mean to you? And what advice do you want to give women to step into the ring on that?
Specifically Black women, to identify with mm-hmm. feeling beautiful and feeling good and knowing it's just not enough to be healthy or at a healthy weight. You want to flourish. A lot of when we're struggling with obesity includes, you know, kind of not really feeling like our outside matches our inside. And, you know, it's going to take a team. It's going to take a village. We're here for you. So Fight to Flourish also means that there's a community waiting for you to embrace you, to hear you, and for you to be heard. And that, you know, it's a positive connotation, meaning fight to flourish. We will fight and we will flourish. You know, this can have a happy ending as an individual for what's right for you, as it has for me. I mean, I can't tell you, I've never felt healthier and happier in my whole life.
Wow. Last question. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with today? And thank you so much for taking the time to get out there and do this.
Oh, pleasure's mine. Thank you for having me. Really just please go within, hear your own thoughts, and be brave. This isn't easy. And take the first step. That's the hardest. And please reach out to your medical professionals and figure out what's right for you. And thank you so much for having me today. Just remember, hashtag Fight to Flourish. Please join us.
Everybody, let's join the fight. This is something that if you're not aware of it, please get aware of it. If you don't understand the struggle, please take the journey with someone else. If you don't know how to help, you just heard how today. Let's take a short break, everyone. We'll be right back.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let the journey begin.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Look, those of us that are out in the world, we know what happens when you say the words prostate. Many of us have had dads, we've had partners, we've had friends, and there's one thing we know, and boy, I don't like to generalize, but the hardest conversations I've ever had with my family and loved ones is when I've had to talk to another male member of the family to go get something checked. Today, I am so thrilled to have us join the show today. Somebody that knows a lot about this, somebody that is passionate, somebody that does it on a regular basis, Dr. Meehan joining me here today. And what is this that I want to say about who he is? What he is about is the passion and purpose of getting a message out there, conversations that are very difficult to have. And I'm going to tell you, whether it's a man-to-man conversation or woman-to-man conversation or doctor-to-man conversation or doctor-to-anybody conversation, we want to give you some insight today to say it doesn't have to be hard. It can be a level of awareness. It could be something that gives people hope. Dr. Meehan, thank you for joining me here today. It's great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much for getting me here. This is amazing.
Am I right? Okay, am I projecting or am I right? The heart, look, I have been doing interviews for a long time. I have helped a lot of people with understanding more about their health. The hardest conversations I've ever had have been with either male people in my family about this topic or friends about this topic. And honestly, I can't even get two sentences out because there's never been enlightened hope about what they can expect. Now there is. Can you enlighten me? Because you know what I'm talking about, right? I don't know if it's because I'm a woman talking to a man, but whatever it is, when you open this conversation, you have to say we have good news for you.
Yeah, this is a conversation that needs to happen. This is such, listen, we need to demystify men's health, prostate health, and talk about this as much as we can. Did you know 50% of men by the age of 60 suffer from symptoms of an enlarged prostate? It is everywhere. If it doesn't affect you, it will. And it will affect somebody that you love. I mean, this is our brothers, our fathers, our friends. And we have new technology. It's been a renaissance of new technology in what I do to really make the process so much easier.
Yeah.
So we can help men. It's so needed.
Look, I want to cut to the chase because I know these are small, short interviews. I was very excited. I know what you do is really outstanding. It is forward-looking. I love the idea things are forward-looking. But let's talk about what the discovery is. What are we talking about when we talk about water vapor therapy, and why is this now a very cool conversation to have despite how scary this might be, right?
Yeah. I mean, so for years, the U.S. BPH market, the market for enlarged prostates, most men do nothing. They just watch it. Some men are started on medications, and then we've had surgical treatment options. And that's kind of how we roll for years. But the renaissance started, I don't know, 7 years ago, 2015,
yeah.
Zoom came out. And now we have in-office treatments where a guy can come in and in one office visit, his prostate can be treated and he can have long-lasting results and preserve sexual side effects. I mean, all these treatment options work. They all have pros and cons, but we have a new class of treatment options that are done in the office that work extremely well.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody, Dr. Raul, I'm always killing his name. Dr. Raul Meehan joining me here today, and I want to say, you know, for those of you at East Valley Urology Center of Arizona, Doctor, listen. I love that we're sharing this message, and what I love about it is that we're talking about a treatment. The other thing I love is thank you for really activating what many of us know. 5 years ago, we would not be having this conversation. This conversation for many doctors was scary as hell, just to be honest with you. Now, what is your takeaway when we think about Resume? What is your takeaway that you want to say to the people listening? And by the way, not just men, because the conversation here today has spoken to the women, because they're the ones that are going to bring the message, right? You know that, right?
Yeah, I can tell you probably a majority of the office visits are set up by their significant others, because they're waking up at night, too, with the guy, you know, when they're going to have to use the bathroom, they're there. When they're going to Home Depot and Lowe's, they're being drugged to the bathroom too, because, you know, it affects everything. And, you know, it's such a common condition. But it's women who get things done in our society. And, you know, this message is for everybody.
Look, let's have a conversation. I want to go through here really quickly. For people that don't understand what to look for, let's start with some of the signs that we should look for, and then we're going to talk to how cool this therapy is. Because when I saw this, I have to tell you, when I started to read about it, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is like those suits in the new movie Dune that really extracts the water for good use. I'm sorry for that analogy. But let's talk about symptoms for a minute for people to say, look, if this is happening to your loved one or you, hit the pay attention button.
Okay. So the most common symptoms that I see are men start noticing that they're waking up several times at night to urinate. They may have a weak or interrupted urine stream. They have a hard time starting and stopping their flow. They have a feeling or a sudden urge to urinate at times. They may not be sure that they're emptying their bladder completely. They may dribble urine at the end of their stream. They could have painful or burning urination and have an inability to go when they feel like they need to go. They just lose that control that they've had before. And this is a subtle change. Yeah. Men start noticing this in their 50s, and they're like, yeah, something's different. Yeah. And that can progress and become extremely severe over time.
Yeah. You know what? Let's make a statement. I want to say this for all the men out there, you know, my family members included. And here's the thing. I don't care what you think you know, that this is normal part of the aging process. When you think in your mind, oh, I'm just getting older, like stop and think again, because that may or may not be true. But there's no harm, really, with hitting the pause button and paying attention, right? Right, doctor?
100% agree with you. Yeah.
Okay. I started to look at Resume, and first of all, let's give out the website. I want to give out the website like 100 times, but let's show people how they can find out more right away. What's the best place for people to go?
Resume.com. It's easy, R-E-Z-U-M.com. And the website is fantastic. It has information about the procedure and a link to find a doctor, a quiz that you can take to see how bad your symptoms really are and give you a number. And that should be your call to action, you know, log on today.
And you know what I love? Here's the call to action. This is how we open the conversation, those of us women that are really getting ready to have this conversation for the 999th time. We get to say, hey, there's something new out there. It's a natural alternative to surgery. It treats the cause of your BPH, which we're going to talk about, so you can get back to your life. So if you can start a conversation like that, then they might say, oh, what is it? So let's tell them what it is.
Yeah. So Resume is a minimally invasive in-office procedure to treat an enlarged prostate, not just the symptoms. It uses water vapor to reduce the size of the prostate and provide lasting symptom relief while preserving sexual function. It works by using the energy stored in water vapor or steam to remove excess prostate tissue. And after the treatment, the body's natural healing response is unleashed and it absorbs all the treated tissue, shrinking the prostate. And when that extra tissue is removed, the urethra opens up, reducing symptoms of an enlarged prostate.
Can I ask you this question? First of all, I can't thank you enough for really taking this message out there. But I want to know what's in your heart, because I've been doing interviews for 20 years, and I always know there's something in somebody's heart. I always know there's some kind of inspiration and motivation that takes a person to the next level for a cause. What got in your heart about this?
Yeah. As a kid, I saw my grandpa suffering from an enlarged prostate and not being able to do the things that he loved to do. And, you know, that was kind of my motivation going to urology. And then my dad had trouble urinating and had all those symptoms, and I was in my training to be a urologist, and I got him help, and it changed his life. And it's been, oh man, that's like over a decade ago. He's still doing, I'm just doing great. And yeah, that's my motivation, is just seeing it, you know, it hits home to me too and to all of us. I mean, this is a condition that's going to affect somebody in our lives, and they can be helped, most definitely.
I agree with you. That's why I had to ask you that question, because once we see this with our loved ones, we can't sit idly by. And for what you've done, it's been amazing. I know I've got a few minutes left, maybe less than a minute. Here's my question. I want to know, again, mention the website, but what's your personal message? And if there was one message you wanted to give people, what would that be?
Yeah. Only 2% of guys with severe symptoms get treated in the United States. That's a disgrace. We need to do better than that. We need to take the ones that we love and help them. And we have the technology. We have all these wonderful and beautiful things of modern medicine. Let's use them. Let's have this conversation. I would like, you know, I'm working in collaboration with Boston Scientific. Check out their website, resume.com. Find a physician and get the help that's needed.
And I want to end up with this for those of you out there, if you're wondering about the results, here's the thing. For the patients who receive Resume therapy, can typically resume normal activities, listen to this, within a few days after treatment, and most patients see symptoms improve within 2 weeks. You see that? That right is a game changer. Doctor, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all that you're doing.
Awesome. A pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You bet. ReZUM.com. Check it out. Pay it forward. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
TransformationsTalkRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome. As you well know, or maybe you don't know, this is the time, October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, that we really take the conversation to a whole new level. And that's what we're doing here today. Dr. Pamela Habib, joining us here today, head of U.S. Medical Affairs, Bay Radiology, and Dr. David Schacht, breast radiologist at Northwestern's. Every time I read something about Northwestern, I'm just like blown away about what you all are doing. These interviews are one of the premier ways that information gets out. And I will say that you are leading the field. Here's what I want to say. Thank you for joining me here today. Many of us have lost parents, friends, countless people. And I think it's because, one, we are afraid, and two, we're just not aware. I want to thank you because the thing we're talking about now, I think, is the most, or rather say, the most misunderstood and least known about. Let's talk about breast density, and let's talk about why each of you are here. Let me start, first of all, with you, Pamela, Dr. Pamela, if I could, and then we're going to hop over to you, David, okay?
Sounds great.
Why do you think this is? That statement I made, why do you think we are here and on a mission to not just make this awareness, but this is an awareness and action call, isn't it, Dr. Pamela?
That's exactly right. As you mentioned, I mean, almost everyone has been affected by this disease in some way and continues to be. And although treatments are improving, there's so much opportunity to detect cancers earlier and get the word out there that screening is important. So we try to use this month at this time to really encourage people to get screening that they need, but really all year round. And one of the topics that we want to focus on today is breast density. So on top of just the regular, the fact that there might be additional screening that could be required in a woman with dense breasts is something that we'd like to discuss here today as well.
Yeah. I want to just comment. I'm going to make a statement. You all tell me if this is true or not. I don't mind being the guinea pig out here. One of the greatest misconceptions is that basically if you're a thin person, this is for you to worry about. But you know what? If you have a few extra pounds, nah, you don't have to think about density. How true is that, Dr. David?
Yeah, I'll take the untrue side of the column there. But to your point, I think it's a relatively common misconception that you can know your breast density based on either your body type, or if your breasts sort of feel dense or lumpy, bumpy when you feel them or when a doctor does physical examination. What we're really talking about when we're talking about breast density is how they look on the mammogram. And really, until we see the mammogram to really define the amount of what we call dense fibroglandular tissue, really we can't make that determination. So, you know, I know that was a bit of a setup on your part, but to your point, a patient's body size or body type or even the way her breasts feel on physical exam aren't really the definition of what we're talking about.
And, you know, the only reason I brought it up is I've had my friends say that to me.
It's quite a common thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why we're here today. Look, let's talk about this. Let's go back to you, Dr. Connell.
what is breast density for everybody here today? I want folks to know what are we talking about here, so we eliminate any of the confusion, and then let's talk about what do you do, mammograms, and why you two are here for this call of action. Pamela, let's start with you, or Dr. Pamela.
Yeah, sure. So breast density, as Dr. Schock had mentioned, is really something that we identify as a mammogram, and every mammogram report in the U.S. will have a comment on how dense the breast is. What that means is how much dense tissue there is compared to fatty tissue. So those are the two types of tissue that we can see on the mammogram. And the reason why it's important is because the more dense tissue there is, the more difficult it is to read that mammogram, because tumors appear white on a mammogram, and so does dense tissue. So you can imagine if there's a lot of dense tissue in a woman's breast, it could be very difficult to find a tiny white tumor hidden in there. So that's one of the reasons why it's important. Another reason is that having dense breasts actually increases the risk of a woman to develop breast cancer. So a woman with the most dense breasts is 4 to 6 times more likely to develop breast cancer than women in the least dense category. So that's why we want people to be aware. It's a normal finding and very common. Nearly half of women age 40 and over who have a mammogram will find out that they have dense breasts. So it's not something that someone needs to immediately be alarmed when they see the report or when they find this out. But there can be additional tests that can help you, which is why we want to make sure that these women have conversations with their healthcare providers.
Yeah, Dr. Pamela Habib, look, I want to stop for a minute because I have looked at your website. And I want to make sure everybody on here, hello, you need to go to this website, because this is, first of all, educational, informative, the way you've laid it out. I love the way you're educating people. So let's make sure we mention where people should go. Let's do that right now, Dr. Habib, if we could.
Yes, sure. Thank you for that. The website does have a lot of great resources, and it is densebreastresources.com. It has information on breast density, tips for talking with your healthcare provider, how breast density can affect your screening needs. So it's a really great place to start to gather more information.
Oh, my gosh. Dr. Schock, look, you are in it every day. Well, both of you are, but you're in it every day. You see this every day. You understand what people know and what they don't know. What do we do from here? There are things that I didn't know that you're talking about here. For example, what do you do if you have dense breasts? What do? Do you do something different? Do you ask different questions? Okay, I'm laying that all on you, Dr. Schock.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're living in an era of more and more personalized medicine, and I think this kind of falls into exactly that category where we know that these decisions are not necessarily black and white. There's not a one-size-fits-all solution for every person, and that's actually great, and means that really the discussions with your doctors about your values, the discussions about the different trade-offs for the different tests, those are important conversations for folks to have with their doctors so that they're getting the care that makes the most sense for them, and so that we're our job is to educate our patients, help them understand what the tests can do, understand what the density means, so that they're empowered with the information that allows them to make the best medical decision for them.
I was reading some information. I'd like both of you to comment on these two statistics because I want everybody to know. Mammograms miss up to 40% of cancers in women with dense breasts because dense breast tissue can hide or mask potential tumors. Dr. Habib, you touched upon that. The other statistics I want to put out there is that these are big numbers for people that are not statisticians. I want to tell you I am one, and I'll tell you these are big numbers. 30% of women do not feel informed about how their breast density impacts their breast cancer risk and screening needs. Now, in the world of statistics, that is so far beyond the margin of error that I don't even know what to say. But that's why you both are here. Dr. Habib, that's why you're here, because you're here because we need to make those numbers smaller.
Exactly. That 30%, it just shows that there's so many women that would value additional education and could benefit from additional education, which is why we want to, which is why we're here today and we're trying to get the word out continuously.
Yeah. Dr. Schock, I want to ask you a question. you're sitting in front of a woman right now, and you're getting ready to have a conversation, and you're thinking about all these interviews you both are doing, and you've learned so much. It's all over your website. Give me the top things you want to say to that person to make them more aware.
That's what we do every day, is help folks understand exactly some of the data that we've talked about today. And, you know, I always want women to understand that across all types of breast density, mammograms are step one. They have been proven to reduce breast cancer mortality across all breast densities. So, you know, I think there's sometimes a feeling of, well, why don't I just skip the mammograms and do something else? And I think that's one thing that I always try to emphasize with my patients, is that mammograms are step one. There are lots of different ways that breast cancer can present, and multiple of those findings, as we call them, can still be seen in women with dense breasts. So after we've accomplished step one, that's really where we start to get into some of the decisions about these extra screening tests, such as MRI or ultrasound, that really can be made in a shared decision-making model with our patients.
I love it. Dr. Aviva, I want to ask you this, because you know this, right? I have sat across the table, and clearly, I don't really know how to say this except as a woman. One, this is one of the things we put on the bottom of our list. Two, when we do go to get this done, we don't really know what to ask. If you are that woman, and Dr. Schacht is talking to you, what are your top three questions would you like to ask him? As the patient, you're asking Dr. Schacht as the doctor. What would you like to ask him?
That's a great question. And I think the things that Dr. Schacht has mentioned about screening and why am I here and, you know, what is the benefit, I think it's a great place to start. If your mammogram shows that you have dense breasts, or you just want to know, you didn't see it in your letter and you want to find out, you can ask. And I would ask, you know, how dense are my breasts? What category of density am I in? And what does that actually mean for my personal breast cancer risk? And I think it's also very important to share any risk factors that you might have so that your healthcare provider can take that information, understand your personal history, your family history, and look at your mammogram and put that all together to identify whether you might benefit from supplemental screening in addition to that mammogram.
I love it. I want to make sure, Dr. Schacht, back to you. I want to make sure people have this website. I mean, good job. I don't know how involved you all were in this, but everything from the pamphlet that you have about understanding your density, everything in the website is, first of all, very easy, accessible, easy to read. And you created a forum, shall I say. Let me call it that, a forum. And thank you for putting people's stories in here. Let's give up that website again, Dr. Schacht, if you could.
Sure, absolutely. So the website for more information on breast density and for some pointers on talking to your healthcare providers about density is the website densebreastresources.com.
Okay. I know these are short interviews. I want to tell everybody, if you are not the person we're talking to, I want you to take this website and I want you to pass it on. I want you to text it to the people that you know. I want you to make sure that people in your life know about this and know the questions. Last question for each of you. I know you're here because there's something in your heart. I know that. We're all here because of that. You wouldn't be doing back-to-back interviews, getting asked the same questions if you weren't. I want to know, starting with you, Dr. Habib, thank you for joining us here today. What is in your heart and what's your personal message? And then Dr. Schacht for you.
Thank you for having us to help us spread this message. For me, it's just not being scared to speak up. If you have a concern, make sure you talk to your healthcare provider about it and don't ignore the annual test. I think it's easy, as you mentioned, it's easy to ignore, to not show up, to delay it. But really, if you are at that age and you're at the date to have your annual screening, I strongly, strongly recommend that you do that on time.
Thank you. Dr. Schacht, how about you?
Yeah, breast cancer is unfortunately a common disease, and we have great tests and great treatment so that the outcomes are so much better now than they were a generation ago, and I think that's something that I'm very proud of.
I want to thank you both. I can't say enough about how important this is. You know, certainly when I think about my mom and I think about the people that have passed and I think about what if they'd had this information, you know, this, the what ifs in our lives are what save lives. And thank you both for doing what you do. And thank your organizations for us here at the Transformation Network, because you all keep showing up. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday morning to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound over on Highway 99 South, just north of 156th Street, southwest from Ramopolis 50. Recent collision partially blocking the right hand of the lane. Good thing they'll take control, and it's just Trump being had the right on scene. They are taking care of that collision. That's on 99 southbound, just north of 156th. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's an encore presentation of Stacey Connects.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. The suspect in last year's school shooting in Michigan is pleading guilty to all charges. Ethan Crumley did so during a hearing as he was asked numerous questions about the crimes he was facing. He was accused of killing four students and wounding seven more in November of last year. Rishi Sunak is set to become the next British Prime Minister after other candidates dropped out of the race. Sunak is replacing Liz Truss, who resigned from the job after only 44 days. Former Prime Minister Boris Johnson withdrew himself from the race and said he could no longer unite his party. President Biden admits his age is something voters should be concerned about. However, he said that shouldn't be the only thing they look at.
I think the best way to make the judgment is to watch me.
His remarks come as he'll turn 80 next month. Biden's age is a concern even among Democrats, as some have called for a new generation of leadership in the party. A new poll shows voter interest is at an all-time high before this midterm election. Republican National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel feels the momentum is on her side.
Republicans are talking about the issues that are really mattering and hitting home for voters, and Democrats are continuing to miss the mark.
The NBC News survey asked voters to rate their interest level in the midterms on a 0 to 10-point scale. More than 60% said their interest was at a 10. 57% also said this year's elections are more important than previous congressional elections. Other polls from the network found the economy is the top issue for voters. Authorities in Phoenix, Arizona are searching for a gunman who opened fire at a house party over the weekend. One person was killed, seven others injured, including a teenage boy. It's unclear if the suspect knew the victims. Bob Evans is recalling more than 7,500 pounds of Italian pork sausage. The product, labeled Bob Evans Italian Sausage, might be contaminated with bits of thin blue rubber. Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Rain on and off at times today. High temperatures around 55, 56 degrees. Tonight, showers, but then it'll turn to partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures dropping down to about 46. However, for Tuesday, Wednesday, and for Thursday, the clouds and rain will return. High temperatures in the low 50s and low temperatures in the low to mid 40s.
Thanks for tuning into our show, Holding Ground. You can find us here every Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. on KKNW. I'm Laura Richer, founder of Anchor Light Therapy Collective in Seattle, Washington.
And I'm Michelle Mooney, the co-host of Holding Ground, a therapist at Anchor Light Therapy Collective. Our passion, our one big thing in life, above and beyond love, relationships, trauma, addiction, and healing, our specialty is helping others. That's Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. Find us online at anchorlighttherapy.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers.
Don't want Bronte here. The first thing you're going to have to learn is until you stop expecting politicians or anyone else to change your life isn't going to change. The only person who can change your life is you, but you need to know how. Listen to my show, the Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins.
Join Del at his new time, Mondays 10 a.m. to noon, and Fridays 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., right here on KKNW.
Connection through conversation. Join self-described conversationalist Stacey Heller as she talks with guests about topics and ideas that are sometimes informational, sometimes inspirational, and always entertaining on Stacey Connects.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stacey Connects. I, of course, am Stacey Heller. This is a show about making connections through conversation. It's about asking questions instead of making assumptions, and it's about engaging with the elephant in every room. No, I didn't just call you fat. I just love when there's that awkward thing that's lingering in the air. I like to address it. Right? It's like a monster under your bed.
Well, thanks for clarifying, since I am the only one in the room with you. That yes. You're not, in fact, calling me fat.
I am not, in fact, calling you fat.
You are instead just making fun of my large nose. Or trunk, as you like to call it.
Well, and you'll probably never forget this now.
Exactly. Now, can I get some peanuts?
Yes, you may.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. So thanks to everyone that listens. I love it when people listen live. I really love it when people call in, which, by the way, the number is 425-373-5527. My mother, / Joan, will not be calling in today because apparently she has a social life, so whatever. That just means I get to talk about her. So I also would appreciate it if you shared the podcast version of this show. Yes, you're listening to it live now, but you can also listen to it on repeat whenever you want by going to your favorite podcast platform. And there, maybe you could even subscribe, or you could rate, or you could leave a comment. I mean, I love comments. And don't forget, you can also follow my Instagram account, which is called Stacey Talks. It's really behind. So, like, for sure, follow it. But, like, I'm behind. Also, I want to remind you that if you would like to text me or you want to leave a voicemail, feel free to do so. The number for that is 475-999-2726. Oof, okay. After all that intro, I do want to let you know I have a guest today, Ariel Hubbard. She has actually been on the show before. Hello, Ariel.
Hey there. How's it going?
I am doing well. It's going great. I am on the eve of leaving for my trip, which I'll talk more about in a couple minutes. So Ariel, she is an energy healer and an educator. A lot of the work that she does is through massage therapy. She also has a podcast called Woman Power Zone, and we're going to be talking about that. So she is a force to be reckoned with, and I'm excited to see what we talk about because it is always an interesting conversation with Ariel. So, okay, my week. My conversations and observations from the week. So, few things. One, speaking of alternative types of healing, I went and I did another one of the float pods, which I really love. I have a membership, and I went for the first time into, so for those of you that don't know what these are, they're basically these things that look like eggs, or think Lady Gaga's mechanism that she came out on a stage one time that looks like a giant egg. And you get in this thing beforehand, you shower, and nope, you don't wear a bathing suit, you wear your birthday suit, and you climb in, and it is about 10 to 12 inches of water, and it is like full of Epsom salts and whatever so that you float. And it's a fascinating experience. They're normally fairly small. It turns out that this particular time I was going and I was bringing along my son Charlie. And so I took what they call the cabin and I let him have the pod. Well, I got into the cabin and there was a current. Now, there's not supposed to be a current. And so I'm in there and the cabin is for taller people, for larger people. You know, like you could basically like swim laps, it felt like. And the current, it just kept sending me. I felt like I was a puck on an air hockey table, just going from end to end without really any help. And so I had to get out, wrap a towel around, and get the lady. And I was like, is there supposed to be a current in here? And so, no, there was not. So she fixed that. And then I had my float. It was great, wonderful. Usually around the time I stop telling myself to, or I tell myself to stop thinking, get out of your head and whatever, it's usually around the time that the session is over. So, yeah, I'm working really hard on getting out of my head and into my body, and it's not so easy. Now, Charlie's rendition of this was very funny. It's the first time he ever did it, and so naturally he's like, I don't need the little thing that looks like a toilet insert to put my head on, I'll be fine. And he puts the earplugs in, and apparently he can't stand things in his ears, so the water getting in his ears, that bugged him, which then meant that he would, like, take his hand, and he'd be, like, filling with the earplugs, which meant that he splashed water onto his face. It's salty water, which then you feel like you need to dry your face into your eyes, which is super stingy, and then, of course, it goes to your mouth, which is super gross-tasting. And by the end, he was, like, just attempting to sit in a float pod and get his bearings. So next time, use the head floaty thing, dude. So my point in sharing the story is, one, it made me laugh, and two, when you're trying something new, maybe try it twice. Work out the kinks the first time. Because you don't know if it's not for you. You just, maybe you're not letting go and you're not figuring out how you can get into it. Okay, the next exciting thing. So I talk about it often. I'm middle-aged. That means that when I am on my phone, I press buttons randomly. The next thing I know is all the little icons start shaking and I'm like deleting stuff by mistake. And exactly, Ariel's making like these hand movements, like everything is all jittery. Yep, it happens, like almost on a daily basis. And so while ordering my grande black tea lemonade with 2 pumps of classic from Starbucks on their mobile app, apparently I hit the method of making it and put in blended. So when I picked up my grande iced tea, black lemonade, whatever it is, it was blended. It was like a slushy. So I didn't know I could do that. That was something that I learned. It felt very extra. But as somebody that doesn't place a coffee order that's like, I'd like a venti this at this temperature with sugar in the raw and 2 pumps of this and add a syrup and then do like this with that and the other thing, I feel like I now have another element of difficulty that I can add to my order, which just makes me feel like it's like I'm a pro now.
Adult slushy.
Right? And in the summertime, I was like, this is good to know. It's not satisfying if you wanted to slurp that thing down.
Right.
But, you know, if you're looking for, like, something to enjoy over, you know, a little longer, then the slushy melts, and you have a little drink for now. Or as Annie likes to call it, second drink, because Annie, as a teacher and therefore a poor 26-year-old, she's like, you buy a cocktail and then the ice melts and then you have second drink and it's the same price. I'm like, wow, okay, clever. So there's a pro tip for you. And lastly, I am going to Italy tomorrow. I'm very excited. So I think I have been mentioning this. We get picked up at 5:15 in the morning. I will not be pretty. Well, actually, my outfit will be really cute. because I am part of another podcast called Wisdom from the Wardrobe. I've mentioned it before. It's with the Michael Bruce Image Consulting team. It's actually here on KKNW on Mondays at 12. And you can also follow the podcast. And yesterday's show was about packing for Europe in the fall. I mean, seems specific. I know.
What a coincidence.
Right? It's like I have an in. So it was very helpful. I'm actually 95% packed. And one of the tips that they gave me was bring a small totes umbrella, because unlike New York City, when it rains, there's not going to be an umbrella or a person selling umbrellas on every corner. And so there is a chance of rain in the forecast, so I brought it. But I am super excited. I have been to Italy twice before, once to Florence to visit our daughter when she was doing her study abroad, and once to Sicily, where we went with my husband's entire family, and we spent Christmas there, and that was amazing. So this time we are going to Rome for a few days, and I'm going to go do all the things that tourists do, and especially all the things that Catholic tourists do. So I'm going to see if I can pick up some holy water from the mom. And then from there, we go to Umbria, and we are going to a friend's well, it's not a friend's house, so it's my friend's second cousin has a villa there. She married a gentleman from Italy, and like the good, overeager American that she is, she was like, let's get a villa. And so they bought a villa, and they have olive trees. And so we are going for the harvest, and so we have to go work, break out all of the olives, collect, they go into town, and they are then pressed for the olive oil press. So I get to be a tourist, I get to be a local, I get to work, we're going to go truffle foraging. So there's just a lot. So I am very excited. I will definitely be taking lots of pictures. I will try to post on my social media. And next week, my show is still going on. It is in the capable hands of certainly Eric and probably J.D. Winnikin, who is a friend of mine and frequent guest and collaborator. So I haven't really given any notes, so it's going to be very interesting, and I get to hear what happens when I get home. So so that should be fun. What could happen, right, Eric?
You're going to connect vicariously.
I am going to connect vicariously, exactly. And actually, I'm bringing my Tascam, which is a little recorder, so that if I have conversations with the folks that own the villa or if I'm out and about and I can have conversations with people, I can be like, hi, Holden, it's Kermit the Frog here. I'm on the scene at the foraging place, and I'm here with Giuseppe, and we're talking about truffles.
Olives.
Right? Exactly. Whatever. So so who knows? I may come home with some content, and then we can post it as some bonus material or something.
Cool. Or use it on the live program.
Or I could use it on the live program. You're right. You're so right.
It all depends on how good of English that Giuseppe is able to lay down. Yeah.
This is very true.
Because we can't do subtitles on the radio, unfortunately.
That is true, and I did have to get a lesson, and so I was like, this is going to be interesting, like Stacy out on the street, like trying to record things. And the Tascam looks a lot like a taser, so I was told by my friend Dave, who gave me some last-minute lessons, he was like, 100% be prepared to be stopped by customs in Italy, because they'll be like, why do you have a taser? And so I'll have to explain that, no, it's a recording device. Watch. You can say, why do you have a taser? Yeah, that's my very bad accent. Okay, so my Stacyism. In honor of traveling abroad, this particular Stacyism is appropriate for when you're traveling, for when you're speaking with children, for life in general. Talking louder doesn't make what you're saying any clearer. Right? I mean, we all have a tendency when we're trying to communicate, we think, well, maybe if I talk louder or even if I slow it down, surely Giuseppe will know what I'm saying. No, Giuseppe doesn't speak English and I don't speak Italian. And so therefore, you need to find other ways to communicate. Talking louder is just making an assumption that you shouldn't make. So, anyway, okay, so with that, let's take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we are going to chat with Ariel Hubbard, and we're going to talk about her podcast and the work that she does on The Daily. Keep listening. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered working with an image consultant or stylist, but were worried about what the experience would be like? If that sounds like you, then Michael Bruce Image Consulting is here to help. They've worked with thousands of people, and many of those individuals have shared their experiences by way of style stories. Go to michaelbruceimageconsulting.com/stylestories and check out what their delighted clients have to say about their experiences.
Daisy Connects, it's not just my business, it's my superpower. Whether you need the right tone and messaging for a new venture, or you've plateaued with your current one, I can help. I connect clients with themselves and their potential. Then, I identify unique solutions to translate your brand into messaging that connects your target audience with your business. Go to StacyConnects.com to connect with me and your messaging.
On the path to good health and well-being? Alternative Talk 1150 is the station for you.
Welcome back to Stacey Connects. I'm Stacey Heller. So my guest today is Ariel Hubbard, as I mentioned at the top of the show. Ariel is a massage therapist. She's not your average run-of-the-mill massage therapist. I mean, yes. If you just need to de-stress, decompress, she can totally do that. She brings a very unique approach to the work that she does. And not only does she herself practice, but she also educates others who want to be practitioners. And Ariel has been on the show before talking about her work. But I figured let's introduce new people, because I'm sure I've gone from tens of listeners to like 12s of listeners, and those two new people don't know what you do. So let's inform those two, shall we?
We'd love to do that.
I keep it humble because I feel like anytime somebody says like, oh, I loved your show about, I'm like, oh my gosh, you listened to my show? Thank you so much.
I'm sure it's more than 12 those days.
Well, I mean, people have limited time, and the fact when they choose to spend it with you, it's a huge gift. I mean, you know, you have a podcast yourself, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But, you know, when people have limited time, their time is the ultimate gift. So speaking of that, you spend your time working with people with your massage therapy. So I intimated that you bring a more unique approach to it. So why don't you explain what I'm hinting at?
Well, I also practice energy medicine and use of intuitive abilities when I'm working with people. So I bring a training background that includes energy medicine and massage into a session. And so why do people want to come and have a session? Let's say they're just not feeling quite right. They feel stuck. Their body hurts. Their thinking isn't clear. They're feeling emotionally upset. And they need to recalibrate, reassess, and just get back into alignment. And that's what I do. So I can sense what's happening with someone energetically, as well as I do a verbal assessment with them, have a conversation with them about the issues they're addressing and what's going on with that person. And so what I do is I help that person come back into balance. So if their issue is a physical one, I'll do massage. If it's a mental one, I'll do hypnotherapy. If it's an energetic imbalance or a need for clearing, which can show up a lot of different ways, I'll do energy work. one of the things that comes up for a lot of people is a lot of people have imbalances, but they can't articulate them or they don't know where they're coming from, and that's almost always an energetic issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's not just chakras or meridians. It's also layers of the auric field, and it's also energy cording, which the last time I was on the show, we alluded to it, but I wanted to just share a teeny bit more about that, if that's okay.
Yeah.
When people connect with each other, which we do all the time, there's nothing wrong with connecting with each other. It's when we stay connected after the conversation should be disengaged. You know, when they talk about a guest should leave when it's time to go and not overstay their welcome, energy cords are like that too.
Okay. So kind of like an energetic bad taste in your mouth or aftertaste.
Yeah, except that you're still feeling the energy or the thoughts or the emotions of that person long, long after even you've interacted with them.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can stay a bad taste in your mouth. That's a good analogy.
Okay.
Excellent.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like if I have a bad energetic connection with cilantro, then forever after, cilantro tastes like soap.
Yeah. And by the way, there are genetics behind that, which you probably already know that.
Yes,
there's there's a genetic reason for that, which is fascinating.
I know. I'm predisposed to the soap thing. But I love trying to explain to people who are listening, kind of like put it in terms that they're going to get. And just so this idea that, I mean, we all have that person that for whatever reason, we don't know why, but we just were like, ugh. But, you know, so there's kind of a bad something about it. And you then constantly associate with that, and you constantly have, like, you're playing back old tapes.
Correct. And what we're really doing is referencing the vibrational variance between that person and ourselves, and there's a dissonance that's occurring. If you make corrections between the two people, a lot of times that will go away. So when people talk out a disagreement, or they forgive each other,
mm-hmm.
or they have a clearing conversation, that can often clear that energetic dissonance between those two people.
That's why people talk about when something really horrific happens and the importance of forgiving that person, not so much even for them, but mostly for yourself.
Right, but what happens during that process of forgiving is your energetic anatomy realigns and recalibrates to a harmonious state. So when people are not in a state of forgiveness, their energy flow is off.
Okay.
When they come back into forgiveness, their flow realigns and goes back to where it's supposed to be.
Interesting.
It is. If most people, if they could see auras, they would see the color shifting as the person's going through the forgiveness process. So I do see auric fields. It's not like it's there all the time. It's like an intention that I use to see it. But like literally today I was working with somebody and I could see they had issues with their knees. They said their pain was in their hips and their ankles, but there are meridians that flow from the hips through the knees to the ankles to the feet. The disruption was in their knees. Once I corrected what was going on in their knees, the energy flow started balancing out through both of their legs, and a lot of the other issues started changing.
Interesting.
In terms of how they experienced their legs. They stopped hurting the way they were hurting before.
Well, I remember having a session with you, and good thing mom's not listening, and you pointed out pain, I think, in my right leg or something, and you said that it had something to do with the energy as it relates to a mother figure.
Well, it's interesting because our cell can store emotions
mm-hmm.
in any part of the body, in the organs or the muscles or nerves, and so when you take your feelings about someone, you can take them and stuff them. You know, people say they stuff their feelings. Literally, that stuff gets stored at the cellular level.
Yep.
And it's sitting in the tissue. And so a lot of times what I'm doing is getting that stuff out of the tissue, out of the cells, and getting that to shift either to release out of the body or to recirculate in a healthy way so that it's not stuck. And that's the most important thing because emotions are energy in motion. And when they're stuck, you experience physical pain or discomfort.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so this is as a side conversation. So I think it was last week after my show. Every week I always talk with my mom, and, you know, and she gives me, like, the what for and corrects me on, like, you know, this is wrong, or you painted me out to be a villain, or, you know, whatever it is. And lately, or generally on the show, I'll talk with people that do a lot of coaching, counseling, you know, energy work, that kind of thing. And mom had a lot of her peers over that night, and they were talking about this whole idea of, you know, paying attention to your energy. And they're like, back in our day, we didn't, you know, take the time to focus on these things. And, you know, these words were not part of our vocabulary. These kinds of treatments or coaching or whatever it was not part of our everyday existence. And, you know, I'm like, yes. And the other thing that I will say is I had plenty to say about this. One, it's always been there. A lot of these teachings, whether it's Eastern medicine or it's part of Western medicine. I mean, Western medicine has to acknowledge that we are made up of energy. Like, you know, you can't deny it. And so this has been around for a really long time. And that's because slowly we're starting to emerge from the shame closet in terms of talking about these things, and we're no longer the, you know, it's the weird aunt or the weird so-and-so that you don't talk about. And then also they had some thoughts on, especially as women raising children, you know, they all come from very classic home life. And so with that, I was like, yes, when you launched your kids, you didn't have some big self-discovery journey or healing or resolution of some lingering issues, because you ignored all of us and you went to lunch and you had lives. And while you think that you were staying at home with the kids, you were actually, like, not nearly as, dare I say it, engrossed, which could be a good thing or a bad thing, as my generation of parents are. And so we forget about ourselves. They didn't. So that's just...
Oh, and a lot of them were taking Valium, too. Let's not forget that. You know, it was a big thing in the 70s.
Yes,
a lot of the ladies. Yes. I don't not necessarily your mom, but a lot of people.
Oh, no, mom, actually, she had a... this is so good when she's not listening. She actually had a slipped disc, and I remember distinctly a time that she had to take Valium, and I was like, ooh, mom on Valium was trippy. Anyway, so that's just an aside thing, because more and more people that are talking about the things like what you're talking about today and these stuffed feelings, I mean, that's what society has done overall, right? You know, stuffing the fact that, you know, oh, it's fine, I'm happy, everything's good, you know, oh, well, dreams, reality, like, whatever it is. And more and more, it's become acceptable to release the hounds.
And have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Emotional, mental health. And then, so I've been educating people about this for, what, 27? No, more than that. But professionally, 27 years I've been educating people about this. And a lot of other people out there have been, too. That's why it's part of the general conversation, I think, is a lot more people that work in energy medicine or work in holistic health have been teaching people about these things about themselves, or people who work in yoga or retreats or, you know, consciousness or coaching. It's become more the part of the general conversation. It's true. But there's still lots of people who haven't discovered it yet. And
yeah.
So it's always a revelation for them when I talk with them about their, like, emotional challenges. Because they'll come to me and say, I'm stuck or I'm in pain. And I'll say, do you want to know why? And I'll start talking about all the emotions I'm reading from their body and their auric field. And they're always stunned. Like, how do you know these things? And I'm like, because your body is telling me these things. Because my accuracy, is good. So they're just amazed. And then what I do is I teach them to pay attention to what's going on inside of themselves. And that's important.
And that is something, so that's where I am currently in my journey with all of this. You know, I've done lots and lots of talking therapy, and that's great. And clearly I love to talk. However, at a certain point, talking about it doesn't necessarily process it or do anything about it. And so it's that movement of energy that you're talking about that you need to process it and do something with it. Otherwise, you know, you're just talking about it. And
talking and breath is like the first layer of the auric field to a certain degree, at first, second, and third, but it doesn't address what else is going on in it. It doesn't address the subconscious. The talking part is only about approximately 7 to 13% of our awareness, because talking is what you're conscious of. Everything else is subconscious. So that's why talk therapy, it works for a certain percentage, but it doesn't address everything, because a lot of the other things are subconscious.
Yeah.
You're not consciously aware of those things. And that's where the energy work, it starts moving and accelerating things that are subconscious and bringing them up to the conscious level so that you can process them consciously.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly, that is what, like, the universe, like, is tapping on every window, door, like, coming under the floorboards. Like, everything is saying to me, like, you think you know, but really what you need to do is feel. You need to just feel. I had a session with Kathy Lewis, who is a mutual colleague of ours. She does gemstone therapy. And she was like, wow, you're really angry. And, you know, there was an energy block there. And you do similar things when I've had sessions with you. And what's exciting about these kinds of modalities of healing is you can go in thinking, as you mentioned earlier, you're addressing one thing, and it brings all these other things to people's awareness. And
yeah.
That's so cool.
Let's talk about midlife for a second. You talked about middle age, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Midlife is a key stage in the spiritual developmental journey where we address all the subconscious things that we've never dealt with up to that point, and they all show up at the same time. So, like, doing things like going into a flotation tank are great, because what they do is anyone, when someone goes in a float tank for the first time, if they don't listen to their mama and they don't use the head float like Charlie did, all those things he was experiencing are distractions of the ego so that you don't have to pay attention to what's going on. And when you're new, what he experienced, I had those experiences in my first time, because they didn't offer me one of those head floaty things, because this was 25 years ago. It would have been great to have one of those. But a flotation tank requires you to be present to yourself, and that includes all of those things that are subconscious. So those things start coming up, and that's a great way to do it. Meditation is a great way to do it. For some people, exercise is a great way to do it. There are a bunch of different ways to get people in that state where they can start being present to what's inside of themselves. And that middle age, midlife thing we're talking about, that's when all that stuff shows up. So if you can find ways to be present, then you can address those things as they're coming up instead of just having them all hit you over the head because you weren't paying attention.
And, boy, hit you over the head, do they? I mean, you know, it's like, and they rear their ugly head in weird places. I mean, everything from, like, adult acne to pains, to, you know, I'm suddenly crying for no reason, or I have zero patience, or, and you can feel, like, when your energy is off. Like, you can feel when you're wonky and you don't know what it is. And so that's one of the things that I love having a session with you, where I don't really have an agenda, and instead I'm like, here I am. You have this much time to spend and scan my body. And what are you feeling? What are you seeing? What do I need done? And it is rare that you get to go to somebody who's a healer and say, what do you think? What do you see? Normally you have to lead the charge. And, you know, yes, it's great to know what you're dealing with, but I love the fact that I can come to you and say, like, I don't know. I just, like, I felt like it was time to schedule a time with you. And so the universe, again, is tapping out a window or knocking on a door. And so, like, what do you see? What are you feeling? And you're, like, immediately, like, you pick it up.
And then I'll ask you if you're feeling it, too. So that's So when I'll check in with you to see if you're getting the same thing I'm getting or some variation of it.
Yep.
Sometimes the facilitator will get different information than the client, but that doesn't mean the client's information isn't accurate. It could mean that sometimes there's, sometimes there's a protocol where you do things at one point in the session and other things at a different point in the session. So, like, the client might be getting something, but that might be the second thing to address. And the healer might get something that's the first thing to address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, go ahead, finish.
When I'm working, I'll get a protocol, I'll get a download. Sometimes I get it before the person walks in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll get it as they walk in the door, and sometimes I'll get 3 steps. And then when I get to step 3, I'll get the rest of the steps for the session. And it's not always logical, but it's always accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned to trust it over the years. I might be at their feet, and then I might go up to their neck, and then I'll go to their gallbladder, and then I'll go to the back of their knees.
Mm-hmm.
And then their head, their crown chakra will shoot open and all this energy will release out of their head and then they'll feel much better.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Like with the work that I do, I more and more keep evolving into like, what is it that I do? And the latest iteration of my website says intuitive ideas for you. So I'm using, when I work with clients, my intuition, and there are times when I'm like, oh, I need to bring, like, this book because I'm going to need it, or I need to start with this, or this is the question I'm going to lead with. And like you, I don't have a specific protocol or checklist or whatever that I start with, and yet it's always the right way to go about it.
Oh, yeah, because you're super intuitive, of course. So that is the gift that you bring to the work that you do when you're working with your clients.
So we both do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, the fact that you've been doing this for 27 years, talk about woman power zone. Like, you have been harnessing your power, both, your intuitive and spiritual power and your power as a woman five ever. See what I did there? It's longer than forever. It's five ever. And that's something that you model it and you teach it and you also talk about it with your podcast.
I do. So I started the pod as a way to give people access to information if they can't have a session with me.
Interesting. All right. That's
what it started with.
Let's take a break here, because then what we can do is we can start, because I've got lots of questions about your podcast and the purpose and the types of guests you have. So keep listening to Stacey Connects with Ariel Hubbard. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Do you feel like you're stuck in a style rut? If so, take the first step on your journey and go to MichaelBruceImageConsulting.com. Fill out their simple personal style assessment and schedule a complimentary, no obligation, 20-minute style consultation. Let the experts help you gain some perspective on your style challenges. Stacey Heller is many things, entertaining yet enlightening. She's a talk show host channeling her inner Fallon. Like Winston Wolfe, she's a fixer who gets things done with style. Practical, like Dr. Ruth. Stacey isn't afraid of the uncomfortable when searching for answers. She's your biggest fan and sees your potential before you do. Most of all, Stacey Heller is a side house who can connect impulses and ideas about your business and yourself into possibility. To connect with Stacey, go to StaceyConnects.com. Stacey Connects, it's your superpower.
Bringing good vibes to the Puget Sound and the world. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, welcome back to Stacey Connects. We are talking with Ariel today. Ariel Hubbard. She has been a guest on my show before. And before this break, we were talking about the work that she does as an energy mover, healer, massage therapist, teacher. And then we started to talk about the podcast that you created. And you shared that it was a way to share information with people that can't necessarily have a session with you. So tell me more.
Okay. So that's how it started, right?